Peace to you, brothers and sisters. Let's begin by reading a passage from Scripture. It will be Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33. So we'll first read verses 22 to 24.
你们做妻子的，当顺服这几个丈夫，如同顺服主。
Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be subject to their husbands and everything.
And 爱妻子便是爱自己了，从来没有人恨恶自己的身子，总要总是保养不息，正像基督在教会一样。因为我们是他身上的肢体，为这个缘故，人要离开父母，与妻子联合，二人成为一体。这是极大的奥秘，但我是指基督和教会说的。Husbands,
love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one hates his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his flesh, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. 33, nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and a wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So let's have a word of prayer here. Father, we thank you and praise you because of your Son's salvation work done for us on the cross, that we can come gather before you with fellow brothers and sisters. Father, that this morning through the meditation of this precious word, that through examining the relationship between husband and wife, we may see more of this relationship between Christ and his church. So that we may truly know your will and walk in your ways. Pray this in the name of our Lord.
Amen.
So when we speak of the book of Ephesians, we think of this eternal purpose of God. That in the fullness of the times that the Lord will sum up all things in Christ. And to accomplish this eternal purpose, God saved us who were formerly in sins and transgressions. And he saved us from sin and now wants to mold us in the image of his son. And after we have been saved, now we are undergoing the spiritual growth which is necessary for this eternal purpose. And in this spiritual growth, one of the most crucial things is to put off the old man and put on this new man. And this is something that we have to learn daily for the rest of our lives. And this work is something that we have to learn individually in our own lives. We need to learn how to walk carefully, how to love the light, and how to follow after the Lord and His ways. Sometimes these things are learned with other brothers and sisters. And just like it says in chapter 4, verse 29, that we say no unwholesome word, but rather a word that is good for edification, so that all who hear may obtain grace. In chapter 5, verse 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody of your heart to the Lord. So when we serve together, brothers and sisters in the church, through all these methods, we also learn how to put off the old man and put on a new man. And God also gives us many roles in our social lives. And through these roles, we also learn how to put off the old man and live out this new man. Of course, right as we are born, we have the role of this child in relation to our parents. And as we grow up, we also begin to have relations with fellow brothers and sisters.
Siblings.
And we also have friendships, and also we have boss and employee relationships. And then when we marry, we have the relationships of the husband and the wife. So through all these roles, the Lord wants to teach us how to put off the old man and put on the new man. And through these roles, the Lord also wants us to know not just more about ourselves, but also about Him. So from the roles that we just mentioned, we can see these relationships with God as well. Our relationship to our Heavenly Father is that of a parent and child. You see also the relationship of the master and servant. We also have these relationships as friends and as brothers and sisters. So from the passage that we read today, we are to learn what is the relationship between the husband and wife in relation to Christ and His church. For us to learn how to recognize our role and what it entails so that we also know more about our relationship to Christ.
所以呢, 首先他这里呢,说,
so first it says here how the wife ought to act.
他说呢,
it starts off by saying, well, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord.
在这里呢,特别注意啊,中文的翻译里头啊,
它那个顺服旁边是点点点，原文里头没有字。So please pay attention to the translation. In Chinese translation, the word "be subject" has three dots, which means that this was not there in its original language.
虽然大部分的英文翻译里头都加上说要submit或者是respond subject，哈，它是借跟着上下文来看，把它加进去，那我们还希望能够更明白的这句话的意思。
And in English translation, some versions may say submit, or some say be subject. These words were added in based on the context of the passage. But in the original text, it was not there. So in its literal original translation meaning, it would say, wives to treat your husband as to the Lord.
那么在彼得前书第三章的时候，他也这么说吧。And
it also says this in 1 Peter chapter 3.
在那里呢，他把做妻子的呢设了一个榜样。So
there, sets an example for women, for wives.
就是亚伯拉的妻子撒拉。Which
is Abraham's wife Sarah.
那撒拉呢，她是听从亚伯拉罕称她为主。
So Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And it says, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And if we recall back to Genesis, when did Sarah regard Abraham as Lord?
那我想他在人面前可能也会这样称亚伯拉罕为主吧。So
she might have called Abraham Lord in front of other people.
但是在十七章那边的记载的时候，那边是亚伯拉罕神向亚伯拉罕显现，应该是要启示对于所罗马和摩拉的审判。So
there in Genesis 17, God speaks to Abraham. So he tells Abraham that at the next year he'll come back at this time and Sarah will bear you a child. And when Sarah overheard this, she laughed to herself thinking, that both her and Abraham were such an old age, how could this be? So Sarah did not say that to other people, but in her heart she regarded Abraham as her Lord. She spoke to herself. So that's why in 1 Peter it says that Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and she was submissive. Because the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. So here it compares the relationship between husband and wife as to Christ and the church.
说基督怎样是教会的头，照样丈夫是妻子的头。So
the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church.
基督呢，他又是教会全体的救主。教会怎样顺服基督，妻子要怎样凡事顺服。
He himself being the savior of the body, But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything.
教会怎么样顺服基督呢?
How does the church obey Christ?
基督说什么,教会就做什么。
Whatever Christ says, the church admits to it.
基督怎么样教导,教会怎么样传递。
And however the Lord teaches, the church also is to admonish.
基督的心意在哪里?教会的心意在哪里?
And where the heart of the Lord is, there also is the heart of the church.
基督自己是走十字架道路,教会照样走十字架道路。
And how the Lord walks on the way of the cross, this is also the same path that the church is to follow.
就是像这样
So like this, wives ought to be subject to their husbands and everything.
这段话呢，在现代的人耳中呢，听呢是非常不容易听进去。
And so these words, especially in today's modern age, can be very hard to read.
特别是现在的女性呢，接受良好的教育，有好的工作，就许多的就知识。
Especially for women of today's age who may have received very good education and have great capabilities.
要听得进这些话，能够实行这些的话，要跟我们从小所受的教育有很大的这区别。
And for women to listen to these words, to live out these words, it seems very contradictory to what they have been brought up learning.
时候妻子所表现的能力表现的智慧可能还超过丈夫
because sometimes women might even demonstrate more capabilities than their own husbands
要一个妻子代替的丈夫如同代顺服他像教会顺服基督一样这在现代的女性来讲是非常不容易的功课
so for a wife to look as to their husband as to the Lord this is a very difficult task for todayModern age women.
我常常在想啊，所谓的新人跟旧人呢，在神的眼中跟在世界的眼中啊，是何等的不一样。
And I was considering regarding the new man and the old man, how different it is to the eyes of God than to the eyes of the world.
新人呢，在神的眼中看是新人。
The new man in the eyes of God is a new man.
有神的圣洁和神的真仁义跟正义。
And it has the righteousness and the holiness of God.
他能够体贴认识神的心意。
Who is able to understand the heart of the Lord.
但是呢，他所做的事情，他所实行的事情呢，却是古老的教训。
But the life that is lived out is actually an ancient way of lifestyle.
这是2000年以前的教训。
Because this is based on instruction that was given more than 2,000 years ago. But only a new man is able to absorb this instruction and live it out. But the old man in today's world is seen as very modern and trendy.
虽然他不能够体贴神的心意，但是他能够走在时代的尖端，可能走在时代的潮流里头。
And this old man cannot walk according to the way of the Lord, but according to the world today, it's seen as very modern and trendy.
在世界的眼光，这些新的所有的新人呢，都是守旧的、古老的，跟不上时代。
So the new man in the eyes of God is seen as very ancient and old according to the world. And what the Bible describes as the old man, this is seen as very new and trendy according to the eyes of the world.
那么这段话呢实在来说呢，如果不是在新造里头，不是在新人那里边的话，不可能做得到。
So, what the words that we have read, if we are not in a new man, it is impossible to achieve.
没有在新造里头, 我们请切身的心意, 这是神的教训, 神的大有里头, 要是提升属灵的含义, 我们愿意顺服, 我们愿意走在其中。
Only in a new man, when you can recognize the heart of the Lord and also obey His instruction, then we can be able to practice this obedience.
神在这里这样的吩咐, 是因为妻子在地上是有个荣耀的意义。
And the Lord commands these things because wives have a glorious purpose.
就是要预表教会是这个羔羊的妻，羔羊的心腹。
That is, the wives are to represent the church, which is the bride of the Lamb.
当有一天我们的主再回来的时候。
And one day when our Lord returns,
在国度以前。 那里说到，他说那个这些新妇已经预备好了，就得穿蒙恩得穿光明洁白的洗发细麻衣。And
when it talks about the church in Revelation, it says that she was dressed in fine linen, red and clean.
然后呢，他就跟着羔羊出去征战，把那个仇敌啊，这个都剿灭了，把那个撒旦。
And she goes out with the Lord to overcome the enemy, to defeat the enemy.
一千年当中呢，得胜的圣徒呢，要跟基督在国度里头一同作王。
And these overcomers will reign with the Lord.
从国度之后呢，他带进新天新地。
And after this kingdom will come the new heaven and a new earth.
那再说呢，看哪，那新圣城耶路撒冷从天而降，那装饰上这里预备好了，装饰整齐，好像妻子的厚葬。And
it describes that the holy city, the new Jerusalem, will come down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband.
这新圣城耶路撒冷，我们说代表是何等样的荣耀。
So what? How, what glory does this new Jerusalem represent? She's adorned with all kinds of precious stones and gold. And the 12 gates and foundations are made with precious stones and pearls.
他所说到的那个是教会的新服的时候，是何等样的荣耀，何等样的美。
And it will demonstrate such beauty and glory.
以弗所书这里呢所说的呢，就是妻子在地上所要做的，就是要预表将来有一天教会是何等样荣耀的教会。
So wives are meant to demonstrate that glory of the church that is to come.
虽然教会今天仍然有软弱，仍然的失败，还有许多的玷污啊，还有那个许多的皱纹。
Even though the church today may have weaknesses, there may be spots and wrinkles.
但是当主再来的时候，那个新妇是何等样的荣耀，何等样的美丽。
When our Lord comes again, how glorious and beautiful will be the church.
这是在妻子呢，在这里啊，是要预表。
So this is what the church is to be, the type of the church.
所以在《彼得前书》第三章啊，他那里说。In
1 Peter chapter 3 it says.
第三节他说呢，你们不要以外面的辫头发戴金饰，穿美衣为装饰。In
verse 3 it says, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding hair or wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses.
只要以里面存着长久温柔安静的心为装饰，在神面前是极为宝贵。
But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands.
妻子所要预表的是将来那位荣耀的教会。
The church, so the wife is to typify a glorious church.
But
the wives today are also to adorn themselves.
但他说呢,
but the adornment must not be external, whether it's braiding hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses.
它是要有里面呢,
but rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with an imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit.
在神面前是极为宝贵,
which is precious in the sight of God. And, the, and it was in this way that the former times the holy women adorned themselves.
借着里面温柔安静的心显出基督是生命在我们身上所显出来的宝贝
that through their gentle and quiet spirit the beauty of the Lord was seen.
借着温柔安静的心看见神所赐给我们那个生命属天的生命和那种荣耀的生命
through their gentle and quiet spirit, we saw this life, this new life that was given to them from the Lord, that was full of beauty. So this is what wives will typify, the coming of the new city Jerusalem, the new holy city Jerusalem, so full of beauty.
那么妻子的温柔安静的心，这个装饰的心怎么样显得出来？
So how does a wife demonstrate this gentle and quiet spirit?
他说呢，这些圣洁妇人正是以主的装饰呢，顺服自己的。
It says that in this way, the former times the holy women used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands.
借着顺服自己的丈夫呢，显出里面温柔安静的心，显出他里面一个属天的。So
it was through their submission to their own husbands that this gentle and quiet spirit was demonstrated.
所以当妻子在顺服丈夫的时候，
So when a wife submits to her own husband,
不但是她在那里预表教会要怎样顺服基督。
So not only is she demonstrating how the church will submit to Christ, but also shows how she properly adorns herself, so full of beauty. So when a wife is able to see the spiritual insight,
神这里所吩咐的不仅仅只是在世上这段短暂的时间，主要是去学习。对不起，再说一遍。这里所说的不仅仅只是妻在这世上这段时间，她有什么要学习。So
this not only does not only speak to what the wife needs to learn in her lifetime on earth.
啊，这样的学习更是要显出教会的荣，显出人间。
But this is also learning how the church will one day prepare herself for the bridegroom. So if a wife can see things like this, then how precious and beautiful will the word of the Lord be to her.
感谢主，这些话不是在旧人里面说的。So
we thank the Lord that these words were not spoken out of this old man.
这些话如果说给今天世上的人听的话呢，他一定跟你那个什么大唱会的大声反对的。这些话呢是上帝新人说的，基督有新造生命的。Or
if these words were spoken to the world, we met with much opposition. But these words were spoken for the new man to listen to.
这些学习，这些教训，就是向着他神公义的旨意去。And
these words are spoken so that we may know more about God's eternal purpose.
那么做丈夫的呢？
So then, what about the husband?
他说呢，你们做丈夫的要爱你们的妻，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己。It
says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her.
做丈夫的呢，那个责任就是要爱他的妻子。So
the husband has this responsibility to love their wives.
特别留意呢，这里这
So when it says love your wives, this love is agape love, not phileo love. So Paul is also teaching the brothers at the time to love their wives. In the book of Titus. So there, when he talks about a wife loving their husbands, is saying it was filial love. And often in scripture, when it talks about love, it's agape love, it's referring to this love from God, this love from above. Filial love speaks more of this emotion of affection, this affectionate love. So when we read these words, we might think that you should be speaking of this love in terms of affection, right?
确实，那个夫妻之间当然是有那个情感爱，是因为当初因为情感爱才结合。Of
course, between husband and wife, there exists this filial love, this affectionate love, and it was this affectionate love which brought them together in the first place.
但是这里他用的是叫agape，他不是用的是filial。But
here it tells us that this love should be this agape love.
今天在世上世人所追求的，就是情感里面的那个激情，那样的感觉。Because
today's world this focuses on this affectionate love, this emotion.
多少夫妻在他们走到一个地步，在同样的难处出现难处了，问他们是原因在什么地方。And
how often when husbands and wives run into certain obstacles when people ask them what caused it. Husbands may say, oh, I've lost my feelings for her. Or the wife may say, I've lost feelings for him. So in today's world, marriages are defined by this feeling. They pursue after this feeling. And so when I was younger, I used to love reading books by Dr. James Dobson. Which spoke about relationships between husbands and wives and how parents are to instruct children. And something that I remember very clearly was he said that in the first 2 years of marriage, this marriage should transform from these deep affectionate feelings to that of the closest friends. Because he saw that husbands and wives who rely solely on this feeling of affection could not last very long. So here, says husbands, love your wives with that agape love, that love from the Father. So, in what way is this agape love demonstrated? This love from above.
我们呢一讲到就是爱的时候，我们都想到在哥林多前书第十三章那里讲到爱的真谛。
So when we think of love, you may think of love as demonstrated in 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
在圣经当中呢，确实呢讲到神的爱，它里面的神圣属天的爱是许多许多方面的。
And of course, this love from the Father has so many different aspects.
但在这里呢，他的这个爱呢，就是爱。
But here, this love, what aspect is it referring to?
他说呢，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己。
It says, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her.
这个舍己这个字呢，在原文里头呢，它可以有两种不同的翻译。
So there are two possible translations for this phrase, gave himself up for her.
有的时候呢，它可以翻成舍弃，把自己give yourself up，把自己的人完全舍弃。
So one translation is to give yourself up, you completely forsake yourself.
那么另外就是give，把自己给的。
And the other translation is to give himself for her.
在这里呢，基督怎么样来教会？
So here, how does Christ love the church?
因为这个字呢，它可以两种翻译的，所以呢，你有时候要怎么样翻，有时候看上下文啊，看context。
So in order to see what the translation should be, we need to look at the context.
但是这边呢，好像很难决定到底应该怎么翻，所以呢，你看英文翻译的时候，大概有一半一半啊，有一半人翻give up，有人说翻成give。
But here you'll see that based on the context, it's very hard to determine which translation is the most accurate. So you'll see translations in English where it says give himself up for her, and some translations that say gave himself for her. And I think that both of these interpretations work. On one hand, Christ loved the church. That he was willing to give up his own life for the church. And by his stripes we were healed. By our wounds we have peace. And we who were lost like sheep. And our entire transgressions fell upon his shoulder. And Christ loved the church that he was willing to die on the cross so that the church may be saved. So this is one aspect. So the Lord not only saved the church, but he also gave himself for her. Because in Christ, the Father has given us access to all the spiritual blessings of heaven. And all the fullness in Christ has been granted to us. Christ not only gave up his life, he also gave all that he had to us. This is the love that it speaks of here. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her.
神对丈夫的爱的要求。So
here, the requirement that God has for the husband.
一面是使命的爱。On
one aspect is this love that gives him his own life up.
我们也确实听见一些故事，我们看到一些新闻。We
have heard of stories, or we may have read in the news.
在一些最危难的时候，最危机这个最危机的时候，那么丈夫为了救妻子，为了救儿女，他把自己的命舍了。
that in the most dangerous moment that the husband was willing to give up his life to save his wife. Through his own sacrifice, his wife and children were saved. This is the type of requirement that God has for the husband. And it doesn't just have to come to these life-threatening situations. How often in arguments between husbands and wives today is because the husband is unwilling to put himself down. We cannot put down our own our ambitions or interests. And we can't put down our own authority. We cannot put down our own temper. We can't put down our own face. We do not have that love that forsakes himself. If the husbands have the sacrificial love, then there won't be no difficulties in the marriage. And here it also requires that the husband gives all that he has to the wife. But not only monetary wise, but also time wise, attention wise, all these things belong to the wife. All that the husband has, it's not just for himself, it's also for the wife. And this is the requirement that God has for the husband. And this is not love between man. This is agape love. Love from above. And there is no husband who is able to act this way if they are to their old man. Only by walking in this new man and the husband do these things. And we can see how the old man is so futile in his ways, and how this new man relies on the Lord. So we also need to rely on the Lord. So Christ gave himself up for a church, but he has a purpose beyond that as well. So that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. When Christ gave up his life for the church and brought us back to him, in him we were granted access to all these spiritual blessings in heaven. This is what the Lord done personally.
And
But he also wants to transform us now that we have been saved through this washing of this water, the word. We know that the word of God is living. And it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword as described in Hebrews. And as piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit of both joints and marrow. And able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. How often are we unable to put off the old man, put on a new man? It's due to the lack of not knowing what is of the old man and what is of the new man. We don't know what to separate, how to separate what's of the spirit and what's of the flesh.
So,
we cannot separate what is of earth and what is of heaven. But the word of God
is washing.
But the word of God is able to pierce far as the division of soul and spirit, to separate all these things and to wash us and sanctify us. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory. Having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and one day we'll be all holy and blameless. That is the purpose of our Lord. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Husbands need to love their wives with this love that will make them willing to give up their own life. With this love that he's willing to give all that he has to the wife. And so they ought also to love their wives. And it says, ought to love their wives as their own bodies. How often do we say that, loving someone to the point where you give themselves up for them is impossible? And how come we can't reach that level to which Christ loved the church? Why can't we love others in the same way? And we may have lots of love, but who do we love the most? It ends up that we love ourselves the most. And because we love ourselves so much, it is impossible for us to give up ourselves for someone else. But it says, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. If the husband can see this thing, that the wife is not somebody else, that the wife is his own body. Just as Christ is the head of the church and the church is his body. Just as the husband is the head of the wife and the wife is the husband's body. That they are inseparable. So that when you love your wife, you're not loving somebody else, you're loving yourself. And if you're able to see that the wife is your own body, then husbands will not struggle with loving her and giving himself up for her, because they're the same. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it. So today we pay a lot of attention to the health of our own bodies. We spend a lot of time finding out which foods are the most nutritious. What foods we should eat or shouldn't eat so that our bodies may become stronger. How much rest we need, how often we need it, so that we can be freshened up. And this is natural, and this is something that we ought to do. Because our bodies are the temple of the Lord, and the Spirit dwells in us. And so we need to take care of our bodies because our bodies are temples for the Spirit. And when we are in bad physical condition, it seems that our thoughts become muddy, that we can't focus even when reading the Bible. And when our bodies are healthy, then we are able to focus clearly, and when we read the Bible, we feel that we can truly fellowship with the Lord. So we need to take care of our bodies. So when Christ loved the church, he also nourishes and cherishes his own body, the church. And marriage needs to be nourished and cherished. And it requires effort from both husband and wife to nourish and cherish this marriage. So it is difficult to avoid situations where there may be arguments between husbands and wives. But no matter how big or small the argument is, we always need to remember one thing. That no matter how big the argument gets, we cannot say any evil words. And a husband should never resort to physical violence. Because the pain and suffering that will be incurred will be long and suffering. I remember when I was a student and I was living in this place.
There was a neighbor,
there was this neighbor who outwardly to other people, they seemed, their marriage seemed very happy. But at home, when sometimes when they argue, it can get pretty vicious. And the words which were spoken were so vicious that it was almost unhearable, because they each wanted to one up each other. And each were afraid that if they didn't speak such vicious words, that the other won't listen. And I was thinking that after a while they may be reconciled, but how long lasting are the effects of the words that were spoken? In this very short moment, in this very short moment of rage, how one word can have such long lasting effects? So marriage is something that both husbands and wives need to nourish and cherish. But here, the Lord gives this responsibility to the husband, emphasizes it to the husband. Because this is a way for the husband to demonstrate his love. This is the responsibility of the husband. Because men might be more short tempered, so this responsibility is given to the husband here. That the husband has this responsibility. And he has this responsibility of nourishing and cherishing his wife, the marriage. So you might think, oh, if we are to love our wives as ourselves, this has come back to loving ourselves. Does loving ourselves in this way correlate with what the world wants to think? Well, we know in this world, there's no such way of thinking like this. We'll never get to the point in the world where the world says to treat the husband is to treat the wife as his own body. So this perspective, this is perspective of the Bible, it is a heavenly perspective. Because it says, just as Christ also does to church. How did Christ love the church? Because Christ regarded the church as the bone of his bone, the flesh of his flesh. It is part of him. Christ loving the church is loving his own body. This is a heavenly perspective, it's not a worldly perspective. Because only in a new man can one have this perspective and walk in this way. Because we are members of his body, and the church is the body of Christ. So it says here, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
Then,
So before people get married, they each live in their family's homes. They obey their parents at home and they live with their siblings at home. But then when they get married, and they are to leave their parents. And their heart then departs from their parents' homes into this new home that they're going to. And this is not to say that they are to stop honoring their parents and loving their siblings. But now they have their own life, this new plan. But the man, when he is joined to his wife, they now have their own world, they have their own decision making, their own life plans. And this new home has become his priority. And leaving the father and mother is something not only the husband needs to do. But the wife also has to do the same. And in Psalm 45, verse 10, it says, "Listen, O daughter, give attention and incline your ear. Forget your people and your father's house." Because when daughter is brought to the king's house, she used to forget her home and be with the king. Only then can these two people then become one flesh. But here it does not speak of the wife, it speaks of the husband only. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And having lived in the father's house for decades, it is hard to suddenly leave that environment because there are feelings. But they need to understand that this new home is now their focus. But here the responsibility is given to the husband of doing this. And the man might have developed very strong feelings with the father and mother, and to separate that might be difficult. And we see that there may be instances where the husband gets married, but the relationship is so strong with the mother that they are inseparable. But here, the man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife. He needs to leave that former living with the father and mother. And it is the responsibility of the husband to take that step and to focus on his new home. And so why is it taught this way? And it says here, this mystery is great. And we can say that marriage is the longest and most ancient relationship, right? When Adam and Eve were created, they were this first instance of this. So then what is this mystery? But yet that thousands of years later, people still don't understand this, which is why this is called a mystery. And the Bible reveals to us the deeper meaning behind marriage and what it stands for. It says, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. In the library today, you might find a lot of books that speak to how the husband and wives ought to interact. And during retreats, you may see that this topic of husband and wives is the best seller. And you can also see that at conferences, topics related to husbands and wives are the most welcome. And of course, there may be husbands and wives, couples who have very good relationships, and they sort of give their advice and recommendations to other people. But you'll see in the Bible, this teaching on marriage isn't that that much volume. But here it says that for the wife to respect the husband and to submit to the husband. And for the husband to give himself up to his wife and to give everything that he has to the wife. There will be no issue between husband and wife. But they wouldn't need to attend any seminars. Rather, the Lord reveals this most direct path, this spiritual path in terms of marriage. You'll notice that walking on this path is not easy. This is something that is not achievable in an old man. And it might be impossible for a husband to completely give himself up to his wife. Only in a new man can the husband act according to the way that God has commanded. Indeed, here it does describe how husbands and wives ought to interact with each other in their marriage. And indeed, this passage also teaches us how to put off this old man and put on this new man and walk in this way in marriage. But when you read this passage, What is the main topic?
是哪一件事情他说的最多的?
What matter does this pastor speak of the most?
他对妻子所说的话是三句话。
So for the wife, three verses are dedicated to speaking about the wife.
25节到32节似乎是在那个丈夫所说的。 可是真正的说到丈夫，直接说到丈夫的时候，也不过只有三节。
And from verses 25 to 32, it speaks of the husband. But you'll notice that probably only three verses are actually speaking about the husband specifically.
最后一节一半讲到丈夫，一半讲妻。And
in the last verse, about half is dedicated to the husband, half is dedicated to the wife.
所以三节半讲到是丈夫，三节半是为了妻子。
So 3.5 verses for the wife and 3.5 verses for the husband.
但是你有没有注意到这段话讲的最多的是什么?
But have you noticed what is spoken of the most in this passage?
你可以在八节的圣经里面找到基督跟教会的教训。
In eight verses, you'll see and mention Christ and the church.
不但他说到妻子为什么要顺服丈夫，因为妻子就好像这个教会顺服基督一样。This
is why be subject to your own husbands, as the church is also submissive to Christ.
不但说丈夫要怎么样爱妻，妻子因为基督是怎么样的教会，为教会的身体。
Now say, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her.
还有两节呢，26节、27节呢，跟
Verses 26 and 27 doesn't seem to speak about the marriage. Rather speaks wholly of what Christ has done for the church. And in 12 of these verses, 8 of them are talking about Christ and the church.
所以他说呢，这妻子在那个丈夫跟妻子二人成为一体，这个极大的奥秘，他是他指的基督跟教会所。So
it's saying that this is a great mystery, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church.
真把我们摆在许多人际之间的关系，在不同的角色里。The
Lord has placed us in many roles in our lifetime.
一面让我们学习怎么样认识、遵循神的话语。
On one hand, it is to teach us how to obey God's word and also for us to learn more about ourselves as we are in the sway of the Lord. What the Lord emphasizes and sees the most, and especially what he emphasizes in and sees in this relationship between husband and wife. It's for us to understand the relationship between Christ and a church through this marriage between husband and wife. If we only use this passage to describe how husbands and wives ought to interact,
如果我们读这段话，只是来看说怎么样，就那个脱去旧，穿上新人。If
we only look at this passage to understand how to put off the old man and put on a new man,
这都是非常重要。Of
course, these things are important.
但是呢，我们似乎没有进到神在这段话里面的那个主题。But
we would have failed to understand the main topic of what God wants to share.
神在这里一说再说，告诉我们，妻子为什么丈夫妻子要这种丈夫要怎么样对妻子，是因为基督跟教会的。Because
repeatedly through these verses, when he speaks of wives submitting to husbands and husband loving wives, it speaks of Christ and the church.
我们得承认，我们这段话我们读了多少年了，我们也交通了多少。
Well, you must confess how many years we have already read this passage and how many times we have fellowshiped on this passage.
但是呢,我想做妻子的呢,很多会有一个感觉, 可以跟教会相比，教会是所有的圣徒所集合的，是那个荣耀的教会。我怎么能够够得上跟教会同列相比？
And wives may have this thought as to how can I compare to the church who is the assembly of all believers? How can I, singular person, compare to that?
丈夫也会说啊，基督爱教会，那是我们都知道，那是基督啊，他把这事情完全给他，这是基督做的事，荣耀的主所做的事，我们怎么做得来呢？
And husbands may say, yes, Christ loved the church and he gave himself up for her. And he is Christ, he is perfect. How can I match up to that?
所以呢，可能我们多年呢读这段话的时候，都不能进到神他与他那个永远的旨意。这段话是跟他永远的旨意相连。
We may have read this passage for many years already and still are unable to enter into this eternal purpose. This passage is closely linked with this eternal purpose.
要记得我们在地上几十年的这个关系，要让我们认识在永世里头基督跟教会的关系。
God wants us to use these decades of this marriage to understand this eternal relationship between Christ and the church.
这是需要圣灵在我们里面开启。
And it requires revelation from the Holy Spirit within us.
有没有圣灵开启我们，我们才能够脱离我们在今世里的一些感觉、一些学习，进入永世里头神他永远的心。
Only if the Holy Spirit reveals to us and opens our eyes, that we may see these eternal things.
神呢，他也知道，他知道我们非常的有限啊。这个神的这些心意实在是太远了，就那个基督跟教会跟永世自己。
And God knows that we are limited as well, that perhaps the eternal purpose we cannot understand it so quickly. But it says, nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So it says, nevertheless. So even though we might not be able to enter into this eternal purpose immediately, but we can start with this, with changing the way we interact in our marriage first and building up from that.
他开始的时候，他要求这妻子去虚顺丈夫，然后他要求丈夫要爱他的妻子。
Because the husband is to love his own wife even as a son, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. So in this passage, it first starts off with the wife saying, "Be subject to your own husbands." But then when you get to this last verse, this nevertheless verse, it starts with the husband, it starts with mentioning the husband to love his own wife. Then it speaks of the wife to respect her husband. So God requires these things simultaneously. It's not a matter of first or who's first, who's second. Because in this marriage life, oftentimes God will reveal things to both husband and wife simultaneously, and the Spirit will work within them at the same time. And through their experiences, help both of them understand more the relationship between Christ and church. So we may know more of his purpose and his desire and walk according to his ways. This we will conclude our sharing here. Let's have a word of prayer.
Thank you. 就赞美您，再次借着这段宝贵的话向我们说扎心的话。
Father, we thank you and praise you that you have once again、used this time to share this word as,、that touches our hearts.
在这段话里头，你对做丈夫的、做妻子的要求是何样的高？
And in this word, you showed to us your requirement for、both husbands and wives.Because such grand is your heart for your church. Through these earthly relationships, through these earthly marriages, may you teach us this love that you have for your church.That we may truly walk in a way that pleases the Lord. Thank you, Lord, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.